Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live, the Tuesday after WrestleMania edition. I am Jason Powell. I will be joined today by our good friend Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News, and we will be taking your phone calls coming out of the WWE Raw show, looking ahead to tonight's SmackDown and 205 Live. You can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown as it airs on USA Network at ProWrestling.net. I will be filling in for Zach Zimmerman tonight. He is in attendance at the SmackDown and 205 Live show, so you can join me right after SmackDown. Stick around for that live coverage tonight at ProWrestling.net, and then .net members will hear the audio reviews of those respective shows coming up. A little bit later in the show, I'll be telling you about the membership special that we have. I'll just make it very quick and telling you, time is running out. $2 for 1 month of membership and our best pricing of the year on the annual and six-month membership options. The annual, you pay $4 a month is what it averages out to. Details on the main page at ProWrestling.net right now if you want to jump on board on that. It is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Our entire audio history is available, including the WrestleMania 33 audio review and my WWE Raw review from last night. With that out of the way, the number to call today if you want to join us is 773-897-6321. We'll be bringing in Brian to the show quickly here, but also I want to tell you that if when you call the number, if you want to join us, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. So if you are in listen-only mode, that's fine. But if you want to let us, if you want to talk to us on the air, it's a very simple thing. Just hit 1 on your phone. If you are calling via Skype, and I do see we have one person, you might have to shoot me an email at dotnetjason@gmail.com and let me know that you are trying to get in via Skype. I'm not sure if that's functioning. I've had somebody mention that it may not be. But with that said, I believe this is Brian, is that you?
Yes, it is me.
Hey, Brian Fritz from BetweenTheRopes.com is checking in from the City Beautiful. What a pretentious name you guys have for your city, Brian Fritz.
How dare you? Come on, this is a city that makes dreams come true.
What dreams would those be? Making Walt Disney rich?
Absolutely.
Well, there is that. How are you holding up? Wrestling. I mean, you go to WrestleMania every year. This year, at least, you get to sleep in your own bed. But it's got to be quite the grind.
It's a little bit, but it's not too bad. You know, I did meet the Mania experience and was there for a long time. Like everybody else, I went there or watched. And I went to Raw on Monday night, and coming up tonight, I'm going to be out at SmackDown.
And are you going to NXT, or are you just tapping out at that point? Because a lot of people don't realize. NXT tapings tomorrow.
I am going to the NXT tapings. I will be doing that as well. I've made sure the wife is okay with everything. She said she'll, she kind of planned it in advance. She said, I see you in a week. And we have a little mini vacation planned for about a week or so from now. So that hopefully will put me back on her good side.
Yeah, that's the smart approach to take, because WrestleMania will come and go. You never want to say that about wives.
No, you absolutely don't.
Let's see here. I'm looking at the Raw numbers. It'll be down from last year. I'll have the average here in just a second, the viewership numbers. Just coming in here as we get started on ProWrestling.net Live. Let's see here. One more number to punch in, and then I can figure this out. What's your guess, Brian? Last year it did 4.093 million. Do you have a guess for me as to what this year's did, even though I gave you a hint and said it's down?
So what was the number again last year?
4.093 million for last year.
Okay, so probably about like 395?
I think you're actually going to be a little bit high. I'll tell you in just one second. I know this is making for great radio as I type in the numbers here. But the number is...
In the meantime, we'll just do the Sheamus and Cesaro chant, right?
There you go, sure. 3.767.
Ooh.
So I guess 3.77 is basically what it rounds up to. Numbers down. I didn't watch the game. Do you know that it was the Final Four game, very competitive, down to the wire kind of a thing?
It was down to the wire, but it was a crappy game. It was very sloppy, a lot of missed shots. the referees got involved a lot. So, a lot of fouls, a lot of free throws. So it was not a pretty game.
All right. But, I mean, that, what do you think? Is it a good thing for WWE to run opposite a major event that is going to bring so many eyeballs to the television set? Or do you think they'd fare better if it was just a normal week? There's no March Madness finals. It's the big show in town is just now. It's the night after WrestleMania.
Well, it's tough to figure that out because there's so many different things that go on now. Because, I mean, obviously you want to line it up with Mania. I mean, how many times have we seen it where it comes to WrestleMania, like even this year? So WrestleMania went up against the season finale of The Walking Dead. We've seen them go straight up against the season premiere of Game of Thrones. And it just so happens that that's right around the same time where the NCAA championship game is taking place. So I don't know what the schedule looks like next year for the championship game, but WrestleMania is actually a week later next year. It's April 8th from New Orleans. So I don't know if that's being done to try to get away from going up against the championship game the following night on Raw, or that was just the best time to utilize the building.
I'm not sure. I know they've run that weekend before, and it seems like they still were opposed by all the usual suspects. I mean, it's also Major League Baseball opening day and all of that. Brian, how worried are you? Your world champion Cubs open with a loss.
I know. Hey, trust me. I was watching it in the press box during WrestleMania. I had it on.
I knew you
as
would
well.
Be.
I did. And they were losing the entire game, and then they hit a 3-run homer in the 9th inning to tie it up. And I had to contain my emotion in there. And they end up losing, though. But I found a way to watch that game, trust me. And I'm a little bit ticked that they didn't play yesterday. They're playing tonight. Right while I'm going to be at SmackDown. But sacrifices must be made.
Well, we're going to get to your calls again in just a second at 773-897-6321. You know I love to hear about the press box at WrestleMania. WWE kind of encourages, go ahead, have some fun. It's not your... What I've seen and what you've seen in other pro sports type of environment, it's a lot looser. So with that said, you and I still like to be pretentious and look down at the belt-wearing audience. Was there a lot of belt wearers in the press box this year?
I did not see anybody wearing a championship belt.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen that in a couple years, but I'd seen it. I saw somebody a couple years ago like have a championship belt and like put it at their workstation. I didn't see a lot of people wearing wrestling t-shirts either. So
well,
I thought
no, they
that was
all work
pretty good
for time. WWE in the kickoff show now.
Wow.
I couldn't resist.
I left an opening there, didn't I? No, it was funny because there was one guy like a couple of seats down from me who like cheered and then he was like, oops. And he was like, oh, am I allowed to do that here? I was like, are they cool with that? And I'm like, oh, they encourage it, man. It's all good. And it wasn't like there was a lot of people marking out except for big moments, like when, the Hardys, obviously, and a couple other moments. There was some big, cheers or gasps or whatever, but it wasn't like there was chance for wrestlers going on there.
Did anyone stand up and dance like Jeff Hardy?
Not that I saw, but I didn't
Damn
turn
it.
Around. So maybe it happened there. I don't know.
I always look forward to looking down on the title belt media. I'm a little bit disappointed, but also happy that they're representing us peon wrestling media types a little bit better. Let's take some phone calls. Let's see where the callers lead us today. First up is 615. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason and Brian. This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Timmy with a T, I remember from yesterday when I got it wrong. Good to hear from you again. What's up?
Hey, I hate to disappoint you again. It's actually Kenny with a K. But anyway, I want to talk about
Raw. Are
you
kidding me?
Yeah, one in the mist since we're talking about Cubs baseball. And but before I get started on Raw, hey, Brian, I want to say that I'm a big fan of your podcast, by the way. And as a Dodgers fan, you should always be grateful it was us that helped you get into the World Series.
Oh, well, I appreciate it on both accounts.
Anyway, about 15 minutes to open up Monday Night Raw, man. I got to say, it was unbelievable the way that started it up. It was just like, maybe it was just me. Maybe they just decided, we're going to let the fans almost dictate how the show was going to start, and it was just unbelievable. And then when Roman came out, and you know, it was almost like, do you guys felt that they had planned for Roman to just say, like, I'm the big dog and that's it, or was it just more open-ended in that sense, as far as, like, how the first 15 minutes of Raw went?
Brian, I can't get names right, so I'll let you start with this one.
Well, Kenny, I think it was all planned, quite honestly. I think they knew the reception that they were going to get. I mean, even before the show started, people were chanting Roman sucks and whatnot. So they knew what they were going to get from that audience. I think it was all planned. I think it was just like, I don't know if they necessarily thought it was going to go, you know, the 11 minutes or whatever it did before he actually spoke. But they were going to say, I'm sure they said, go out there, feel them, and just hold off. Let them get the chance out of the way and then drop the line and get out of there. So I think that's the way they had it planned. I think they knew the audience going into it.
And, Brian, I was going to ask you, by any chance did you notice, did they have anyone giving them a cue? I just was watching that wondering if it's they're relying on Roman to milk the moment or if there was somebody kind of listening to Vince going, okay, now say the line.
Yeah, I was wondering that too, and I didn't see any kind of floor manager or anybody give him a cue. I honestly thought at one point that Roman was going to start talking because he kept lowering the microphone, and then every time he put the mic up, that's when people would really ratchet up the booing again. So I thought at some point he was just going to hold the microphone there and kind of wait for him to die down, but he never did that. He kept playing with him that way, but no, I didn't see anybody give him direction.
And as for you, Larry, I'm just going to keep calling you all sorts of different names other than Kenny. Yeah, no, I agree with Brian. I think it was very much planned. I was hoping he'd say more, but I don't think they want to do anything differently with Roman. And so it made sense. You know, I think he gained some respect from that crowd. They may not admit it. They'd be just as tough on him if he was on SmackDown tonight. But he gained some respect in the sense that he stood out there and he took it. They didn't just hide him backstage for the night. They didn't have him only wrestle and not actually get out there, you know, a 30-second match or something. He stood there and he took it. And so for what they wanted, I think it went extremely well. What else did you have in mind today?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Hardys. You know, they came out to a huge ovation, and I even heard some, you know, like obsolete, delete, and, a descriptive way of saying about that Anthem Al and everything. But then I watched Raw Talk on the WWE Network, and, you know, I can just tell that, you know, Matt Hardy was speaking pretty much like normal Matt Hardy from, you know, WWE and so forth. And I was wondering if you guys had any updates on what the situation is with their pending lawsuit, I guess, with Anthem. And, you know, even if, like, let's say they do retain and get the full control of their character, do you think it is possible that they can pull it off and pull it off exactly like it is, or knowing how Vince works, they're going to have to tweak it to make it more, I guess, WWE-friendly, you could say.
Brian, I would think WWE-friendly in that I don't know that WWE is going to want to be flying in Maxwell all the time. You know, I don't even know if they'd want Maxwell on their television. I could be completely off on that. But little things like that, if they were to get it, and I think it still is a big if, I mean, I just right now it could be one of two things. It could be they're starting this way so that the audience can see Matt Hardy break the entire audience that isn't familiar with it. You listen to last night and everyone sounds like they are, but you go to different cities and they're not paying close attention as the WrestleMania crowd is. But, or it could be, no, this is it. You're getting the Hardys and the battle may continue because Matt and Jeff will eventually leave WWE someday and want to be able to use the Broken Universe again or just have ownership to it. But what's your gut telling you on where this is all going?
I think it's something that they're trying to get through the legal tape on this. And once they do, I think we'll see the Broken Universe in WWE. Matt even tweeted a couple hours ago about how the sheer nirvana of coming home to that deafening ovation at WrestleMania seems to have contained my condition, if it can be contained. Which, in other words, is right now we've got some legal problems, so I can't really do the full character. But once we get that worked out, Broken Matt Hardy will make a return.
I sure hope so. I mean, especially for Matt, I still maintain that Jeff has some big singles matches. Matt, I mean, I'm sure they want to travel together. I wish there was a way to put them on opposite brands and still make that happen. There's not. But I just think that Matt doing the broken gimmick in WWE is a big question mark. You don't know how Vince McMahon is going to, how much freedom he's going to give him, how controlling he's going to be, whether he gets it, that sort of a thing. But I hope we get to see it. What else, Gary?
No, that's it. And I just want to say that it's been fun listening to these shows. I've been trying to listen to them as often as I can. And you got a good podcast, and you're an excellent host, Jason. And you and Brian have a good rest of the show. And go Dodgers.
Well, thank you very much. Despite me calling him the wrong name 2 days in a row and calling him Jimmy, Kenny, Larry, and Kenny was the right one. But I also called him Jimmy, Timmy, Larry, and Gary. That's it. Day one, I'm looking at my notes here because I like to write down the caller name so that I can kind of, you know, actually remember people's name. And I actually had it right. I don't know what happened between then and now. But one person up next here, oh, I think he disappeared again. Or maybe it's the same thing as yesterday where I had a similar number. I thought we had old Rabbit on the line, but I don't see him now. Let's go to, oh, actually, my Lord, I think it is. He is still under top secret triple probation. .NET member Rabbit is issue.
Yes, it is. And
what's going on today, my friend?
I'm a John Belushi secret probation.
You are, absolutely. What's on your mind?
A couple things. I want to ask you and Brian one question before I get to Raw about tonight and SmackDown. And that is, now that Naomi got her her little hometown buzz and get the title, think WWE will do the right thing tonight and give Alexa Bliss her title back on television? Did her have a one-day title reign and then take it away again so that she can have a real champion?
Well, the funny thing about that is that, yeah, they gave her the moment in Orlando. They're still in Orlando. Brian, it's like WWE tradition. You make the hometown babyface look like a moron.
Yeah, but I don't think she's going to lose it tonight. I don't even know if there's going to be a women's championship match tonight. I don't think she would lose it this quickly. I don't know if it's going to be a really long title run for her, but you know, that remains to be seen. Maybe it'll be the next SmackDown pay-per-view or at least a couple of weeks, but I don't know if they're going to switch that title tonight. To me, if they were going to switch a championship on SmackDown, I think there's a better chance of Baron Corbin winning the Intercontinental Championship in a rematch against Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I do too. And the other bold prediction I'm going to make is, well, we're getting the Superstar Shuffle, or whatever the hell they're calling. I like to call it that because it reminds me of your Chicago Bears. But they're shuffling up the rosters, basically. They're shaking them up. That's what it is, the Superstar Shake-Up. I think Charlotte's coming to SmackDown. You saw the angle last night. Brian, I don't think they want her to be a babyface. At least I hope they don't. They just swerved everyone with the whole she's reuniting with Ric Flair thing. I'm guessing last night may have been kind of her blow-off.
Yeah, it very may well be. And, you know, I think one of the big distinctions when it comes to what they're doing next week, they're not doing a draft, okay? It is a shakeup. So there's going to be trades. I don't see it being, you know, a draft. And that's why I think if there's going to be any more call-ups, it's going to happen tonight. I wouldn't expect any call-ups next week. Maybe I'm dead wrong because I would still kind of factor into a shakeup. But I think call-ups happen tonight, just like they did on Monday, and then next week is when you kind of trade some names around. And I don't think it's going to be too many people. I don't even think it's going to be as many as 10. I would say probably closer to like maybe like 6, 8 at the most. But I think that's what's going to happen in that.
And I think we all assume tonight is Shinsuke Nakamura night. And the interesting part of that, I'll get back to you in just a second, Rabbit. Hey, if AJ Styles is leaving the brand. I was talking to with Johnny Fairplay before the show. It's like, why not just give the match away? And it's like, well, if you don't have long-term plans of doing it at WrestleMania, you certainly could, Brian. You know, I mean, if they're going to end up on opposite brands, that'd be one hell of a way to wow that WrestleMania crowd one more time.
Well, I mean, how easy would it be for AJ Styles to come out there and say, man, I got past that stupid business of Shane McMahon, so now I want my title match. And Daniel Bryan says, no, you got to earn it first. You got to earn being number one contender against this hot new name that we got here on the SmackDown brand, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Ooh, would that be hot? That would be a lot of fun. Either way, I mean, I think it's going to be great. Assuming he does get called up tonight, I mean, there's no guarantees. But as Fair Play also pointed out, he just happens to have a new T-shirt that they've unveiled.
Mm.
He doesn't think it's going to be an NXT thing, so there is that.
Right.
Rabbit, what else did you have for us, bud? Oh, and by the way, Rabbit, that my prediction would be that if Charlotte does move over, she's the one who beats Naomi.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing I was thinking also for tonight. Another idea. If it's, as Brian said, that that maybe Charlotte goes to on the switch, Charlotte goes over there to SmackDown, you know who I hope is the one that comes in place of her?
Who's that?
I hope they bring over Becky.
See, I don't, because I want to see Charlotte and Becky on the same brand.
Yeah, that's, and Charlotte and Becky both want that as well because they're best friends.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That would be, yeah, I'd really like to see that. I mean, you can't rule it out. I mean, it's another match that you could put off and do long term, but I would think that would be a feud that could carry that roster for, you know, SmackDown. They tend to have longer programs because they just have a limited roster. We'll see what the shakeup does for them, but that's one that can get them several months. That's one I build to for SummerSlam, make it a big deal, and move forward from there. I'd really like to see that, Rabbit.
Yeah. The other thing was, like, on that, because, see, if Becky goes to Raw and Charlotte goes to SmackDown, well, Charlotte can get the title back in SmackDown, and then Becky could fight Nia Jax.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's possible. They certainly can. It's just like we're both saying we'd really like to see that program now. And, hey, who knows? Maybe Charlotte stays put and Becky comes over. I mean, there's a number of different things they can do. Did you have any more for us before we move on to some other guys today, Rabbit?
Yeah, just one thing for Brian, and that is go Cubs.
Absolutely, man. That's what I like to hear.
And the other thing I want to ask Brian real quick, if you don't mind me saying this, do you miss Harry Carey and the seventh inning stretch?
I do. I mean, if you go to Wrigley Field, I mean, they still have a recording of Harry Carey that they sometimes air during the seventh inning stretch rather than having somebody there live to actually sing the song. But, yeah, I miss Harry a lot, man. I mean, that guy was an institution.
The greatest of all time, Rabbit.
All right, Rabbit appears to be the greatest of all time, Jason.
Well, in a unique way, he was. I mean, he's not Vince Scully as far as just, you know, that perfect voice, but in his own special way, Harry was just phenomenal. I mean,
he was awesome. He's a Hall of Fame announcer.
What better? I just have so many good memories of, like, all right, school's out for summer. Let's turn on the Cubs once we finally were able to do that. We didn't have cable for the longest time. And just listen to Harry Carey, and he always sounded kind of sauced up by, like, you know, inning seven, and I might be being kind.
Well, I mean, the Cubs weren't exactly a very good team then, so he had a reason for maybe popping a nice cold Budweiser, as you like to say. So
he was a Cubs fan and a Bud man. Let's go to 616. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. Can you go to me? Can you come back to me in about a half an hour, please?
I will try my best to remember. Yes, sorry, no problem, Eric. I know these things happen sometimes. Let's go to 215. Who's this? Where are we calling from?
Hi, this is Kyle. I'm calling from Orlando.
Hey, do you know Brian Fritz? He's from Orlando.
I don't. I'm actually from Philadelphia. I was your last caller yesterday.
Yeah, we talked yesterday.
I'm flying out tonight. I'm flying back. I'm going to miss SmackDown. But I was there last night. So I.
And I was thinking of you at the end of the show, and we didn't get Shinsuke.
Yeah, we got Finn Balor, who I'm also a huge fan of. You know what? As much as I wanted Shinsuke, I would have predicted we got Balor on Monday and Shinsuke on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So everything seemed to go the way, at least the feeling in the crowd was, anyway.
Now, I got two of you on the line who were both there. I need to know, were either one of you responsible for the beach balls?
I wasn't. It seemed like my side of the building, I was opposite of the entrance, and it seemed like my side, somebody, I don't know if it was one person on that side, but it seemed like the beach balls were coming from my side of the arena, which was interesting.
There was somebody, I think, that had like four or five beach balls. Like once one got going, especially if one got taken, like another one came from that same section. So I don't know if they all came from the same guy, but I think one person had like multiple beach balls.
And were they bouncing people, Brian? Did you see anyone get tossed out last night, or were they just kind of taking
They were taking stride. They were taking the beach balls. But I mean, at one point, what was it, Kyle? Like four beach balls were going at one time?
I would say it might have even gotten five or six. It seemed like
wow.
Two every time one got taken away, two more would pop up.
Yeah,
it was as much as I feel bad that because it was a good match going on, but it was hard to avoid something that you know from taking your attention away from the match. It was just like I said, one would get taken and he would get booed, and then two more would pop up.
What else was on your mind today, Kyle? I know you were there in person, and we can either I can kind of defer to Fritz on some of his in-person details, too, but if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Well, one of the things you guys were talking about was I actually had a good view of kind of like a floor manager in the beginning.
Yeah.
When Reigns was getting booed, and at first I thought he was doing like a circle motion, almost like a wrap it up motion, which was my original thought. But now that I'm thinking about it, that could also easily be, hey, milk it or keep it going. Because when I saw him doing that, he kept it going for what felt like another 5 minutes.
Well, you know what, though? If they're given a circular motion, that's a wrap it up kind of motion. So that could have been at the end. If they wanted him to milk it or stretch it out, he would probably do like a motion like stretch. I mean, and those are just common, you know, things that they do as a floor manager when you work in TV or even in radio. They do the same thing. So maybe there was a stretch sign, but maybe they did have him, you know, originally planned to say something else, and they said, no, just put a wrap on it right there, man. There's no point in saying anything more.
Well, if it was a wrap it up motion, he kept it going for another 5 minutes. He was avoiding that. When he did the wrap it up, he would put the mic up to his mouth, and when the boos got louder, he'd put it back down, and then I would see him motion again. He'd put the mic up to his mouth, the boos got louder, he put it down. I really enjoyed Reigns' reaction, to be honest. You know, I'm from Philadelphia, and we have a bad reputation, or I would say a notorious reputation.
Well earned, you booed Santa Claus.
But, right. If you're from Philly, you're kind of familiar with this idea of we also want to get it back if we're doing you like that. And for him to just say, this is my yard and drop the mic, I was actually, I was into it. I'm going to continue to dislike the character, but hopefully it's in a way where he's trying to actually generate heat and be cocky in a heel kind of way. I really like the way he responded to it.
Being there in person, I'll defer, because Brian's been to several. But, Kyle, you know, this reputation's been there now, the night after Mania. I think it was 2013 when this phenomenon started during the middle of a Sheamus and Randy Orton match, essentially, when the crowd just took over the show. Did it I believe this was your first time experiencing the Monday after. Did it live up to your expectations? Was it as rowdy in person as you expected it to be? What jumped out at you?
It really wasn't, to be honest. You asked me a question yesterday to name maybe one thing that might not have been maybe worth the money. And I'm not saying Raw wasn't worth the money, but if I had to pick out of all the things I've done this weekend, it kind of let me down, but at the same time, it was still better Raw than I've ever experienced. And I have a few theories to why I was underwhelmed, but
yeah,
I was underwhelmed but also satisfied at the same time. I don't know really how else to explain it.
Well, you said you had some theories on that?
Well, for one, I was thinking, so I kind of stopped following the project, the product from maybe 2009 until 2013. And I remember tuning in to that show and being like, wow, that's the craziest crowd I've ever seen. But to think back on it, I actually don't think the product was very good a few years ago. WrestleMania last year wasn't very good. The year before that was okay. You know, when you're getting Randy Orton and Sheamus for what feels like, you know, the 100th time, I can see why a crowd like that is kind of just restless with the product, whereas I was pretty satisfied with WrestleMania and, you know, even somebody like Sheamus, it feels fresh. Him and Cesaro, I think that Cesaro and that Sheamus and Cesaro chant was actually my favorite part of the night, to be honest. That was actually really cool. I didn't really, other than Beach Ball Mania, I didn't see the crowd trying to hijack as much as they were, you know, like, why wouldn't you cheer Sheamus and Cesaro versus Enzo and Cass? And why wouldn't you cheer Kurt Angle and, you know, things like that? And I also think they, well, I also, another theory is exhaustion. I was really tired after a long weekend of nonstop wrestling. And I think, I don't know, I feel like, it was almost like they controlled the chaos without us even realizing it. In comparison,
they definitely learned how to co-opt this. Yeah, no, they Brian. I mean, that's something like when it first started happening. And Kyle, I want to say a big thank you. I guess before I'm gonna let you go. Your contributions over the last couple of days have just been just great, and I really appreciate it. Have a safe trip back to Philadelphia. But, Brian, it does seem like they just have a better handle on things. You know, I kind of praised them last night in my review in that they know what this audience wants. And you go back to 2013, and I think they were kind of blindsided. I don't think they ever expected a crowd to hijack the show the way they did, starting with that Sheamus Orton match and just kind of carrying through. I think they were taken aback, and every year it seems like they just have a better handle on things, and they're ready for it, and now they're basically co-opting this whole movement and touting it as this great thing, and it's just basically portraying the fans as being what they used to call Bizarro World in Canada, being like that.
Well, now they're embracing it. I mean, they even did, you know, one of their 24 specials on the network around it. I mean, I've been to, you know, the last few of these, and the crowd was good last night. I was really into it. But it wasn't like this rowdy crowd that we've seen a couple of times. Just I didn't get the feel like there was like this UK invasion like we've had at other times. I mean, obviously, there was a lot more chanting and a lot more cheering than you normally get at a Raw. But I didn't find it as wild as some of the other previous Raws following a WrestleMania. And, you know, like you said, you know, WWE has just said, you know what, this crowd's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. Just embrace it. There's no reason for going out, you know, to try to do something about it. And, you know, let them go crazy. This is what we want them to do anyway. And I'm very curious to see what's going to happen at SmackDown tonight, because I don't know how many people are staying in town that went to all the other stuff and went to WrestleMania, maybe went to Raw as well. I've got a feeling this is going to be more of a local crowd than it is, you know, an international crowd. There's going to be some people that are still in town going to this, but
sure.
Hey, you know what? Even if you go to all WWE events, not even counting the Hall of Fame, this will be your fourth straight night of going to a WWE show, including, you know, a very long WrestleMania, you know, Raw the previous night, and you're going to go to SmackDown tonight. So we'll see how the crowd reacts. I mean, I think WWE would love to get the reaction like they got at Raw, but that remains to be seen. And, we'll find out tonight.
The number to call is 773-897-6321. I am Jason Powell. He is Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News, and at Brian Fritz on Twitter if you want to follow him there. And we are taking your phone calls. Just remember, once you call in, press 1 on your phone if you'd like to speak with us. And up next is, let me make sure I've got this right, because Eric wanted to wait a little bit. So let's go to 412. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. Hey, Brian. I've talked to you guys before. It's JD in Pittsburgh. How are you guys doing?
Hey, JD. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a while, Jason. Good to hear from you again. And, Brian, I hope you're doing well. I used to call in your show once in a while when you did Between the Ropes back in the day when
yep.
you had the Orlando show. So it's good to talk to you guys again. I have a few friends, actually, who are down in Orlando right now, believe it or not. They've been there all week. So they didn't go to Raw last night, however, but they're going to SmackDown tonight. They didn't go to TakeOver Saturday, however, but they went to Mania Sunday, however. So they've had pretty good weather all week. But anyway, yeah, last night's show, I got to tell you what, though. I mean, I think last night the fans went into business for themselves last night by trying to hijack the show. I mean, it got really, really heated at times at the Beach Ball, like you said, how at the beginning of the whole thing with Roman. I'm surprised they let in the cursing, however, especially in USA, and I don't know if they're going to catch heat for that, however. But it was good to see Finn Balor return. My question is this, so we saw what happened with Brock and Braun, however, in that little promo sketch midway through the second hour, however. And obviously there's talk that next week, maybe early on, they might be finishing this Roman Braun thing once and for all. I know Brock hasn't been listed yet for payback at this point at the end of the month, however, but do they go that way possibly, do you feel, or are they going to wait until maybe sometime during the summer? I would like to hear both your thoughts on this one.
We'll start with you, Brian. Your thoughts, do we get, I think it's Braun and Brock, or Brock and, I guess, is it Braun and Brock or Roman
Braun
and Braun,
Brock
you're looking for?
Gotcha, no,
Brian.
And
Brock. Is, oh, gotcha. Is that
I
up
think,
next, Brian?
Well, I think what's next is Braun and Roman. I think that had been planned.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're going to see a payback. I don't think we're going to see Lesnar at payback. I think he will be at the next one. I think that SummerSlam, to me, that feels like Brock Lesnar against Braun Strowman.
I hope you're right. I mean, I think last night it was foreshadowed when Braun said, when I'm finished with Roman. There was a line about that. Then maybe Brock will start paying attention to him or something. So I do think that's the match we get next. And I hope, Brian, you're right about SummerSlam. I don't want to wait until WrestleMania. I don't want to spend the whole year knowing that they're working toward Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, especially when they started teasing it last night. So, yeah, I guess that's where I stand on it, JD. Anything else?
Yeah, about the Revival. I mean, it's nice to see the Revival come up and everything. Do you think they should have been put on SmackDown rather than put them on Raw, considering the Hardys just returned to Raw?
Yeah, let's see what the Superstar Shakeup is all about. Let's see who goes where. I think you're going to see some tag teams move. You know, I mentioned last night I could see Gallows and Anderson going. It just kind of seems like they've been on Raw for a year. Nothing really happened. I know they just won the tag titles and lost them, but it just was so forgettable. I'd like to see them move. And, I mean, initially, Brian, my big take on it was, yeah, the Revival belong on SmackDown. I have more faith in the SmackDown broadcast team. But as I mentioned in the hit list today, you look at what they've done with the tag team division. They've had two great teams sitting there, in the Usos and American Alpha. They haven't done a damn thing with them. I mean, it's been really disappointing. So do you think maybe, just maybe, the Revival could be better off on Raw than they would have been on SmackDown?
Yeah, I do. You know, I had originally thought the same thing, that, okay, if the Hardys are going to be over on Raw, they shouldn't be getting another tag team. But it makes a lot of sense to have the Revival there because of the matchups that they have, especially with New Day, because the Revival's this throwback, old-school kind of tag team, and the New Day is new school, fun, entertainment. You know, so to set up a feud like that, it makes a lot of sense for the Revival to come in and debut there. And they'll be perfectly fine with, you know, other teams squaring up against them, you know, on that brand. So I think in the shakeup, you're going to get at least one tag team, maybe two tag teams going over to SmackDown.
Well, as always, guys, I enjoy listening to you guys. Keep up the great work, as always.
Thank you so much, JD. It's good to hear from you, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
I remember JD and I had a long conversation one night after Raw when I was doing post-Raw shows during WrestleMania season, and it was just great. And I looked forward, he called in the next week, and I was like, oh, good, it's him again. And he was all fired up about something, and I had to cut him off because I think he dropped an F-bomb or something. But always good, well-thought-out commentary and questions from JD, that's for sure. I do want to touch on something he talked about. The hijacking of the show, I guess the points where I felt it's not even because he expected it. It's what they do now, and WWE isn't trying to stop them in any way. As you said, they had a documentary on it, and they're embracing it. But the two points in the show where I was like, these wrestlers deserve better, main event, because I think they did try to give them four former NXT champions, they're going to love this, Finn Balor's return, and the crowd was happy to see Balor, and then they kind of sat, you know, it's just they were humoring themselves throughout the match more than anything, but especially the Cruiserweight match. Those guys worked really hard, Brian. I feel like they deserve more. But just your thoughts overall on that crowd last night.
Well, I totally agree with you, but crowds are going to do what crowds are going to do, unfortunately,
right.
You know, and they're not going to stop it. I mean, I think the only match they really hijacked was that Cruiserweight match, and I think Neville was a little bit upset, but I think wrestlers have to know this going into the shows. Like, it's not right, it's not fair, and you don't know when it's going to happen, but something is going to happen on that show where a match is going to get hijacked, but then at the same time, maybe you're going to have something that gets somebody else over in a big way. Like, you know, we always talk about that Sheamus Randy Orton match, but then we also got Fandangoing, you know, and we got a big reaction when Dolph Ziggler cashed in Money in the Bank and won the championship. And then, you know, you look at Raw last night. Yeah, it wasn't cool during that Cruiserweight match, but then you got the Sheamus and Cesaro moment. I was really surprised that fans started doing the wave during the main event, because I was just like, okay, everybody's clamoring about we want, you know, newer, fresher talent, you know, being in the top of the card. That looked like what we were getting on that show last night. I mean, even before Finn walked into or walked out, I was looking at the three guys there and I go, man, that's Ring of Honor 10 years ago. That's what everybody wants to see, you know, from that standpoint, you know, giving those guys the stage. And, yeah, that was the one that really surprised me, was people trying to do the wave during the main event. And it didn't last long either. And I'm glad about that.
In defense of the fans, I mean, number one, they made the show, clearly. I mean, the Roman segment at the top, the Taker chance at the top. I mean, just great stuff. But I will, you know, the main event, too, the defense I have for them is that, yeah, it's four guys that this audience should like, is WWE's mindset, clearly. Cole did, you know, he broke it down. Four former NXT champions, broke down their history with one another. And you pretty much guaranteed that was the mindset from WWE, is they're going to like these guys. It was a random tag team match, though. Yeah, you have the heat with Owens and Jericho going in. That gets erased. So Rollins doesn't really have an issue with either guy at this point. Finn Balor's coming back. His issue was basically with Rollins. They didn't play on that at all during the match. They waited until after the match to have kind of a brief tense moment between the two before Seth raised his arm, and it was basically water under the bridge. So there was no real hook for the match. There was no consequences. There was really nothing at stake, Brian. It just was a match.
Yeah, you know what? If we want to really look at it, too, I thought the thing that was weird was that, you know, it was Seth Rollins that put Finn Balor out. And there was no explanation for why they were buddy-buddy. We're now best friends and we're tagging together. There's no explanation for that. But that's the way I understood it, because, I mean, I watched some of the main event back afterwards at home, and obviously when you're there you can't hear the broadcasting, but they didn't reference it. And that was something I kind of thought was a little bit strange, and maybe they would play off of it, saying, you're the guy that put me on the shelf, and they're going to have them teamed. There needed to be an explanation, or maybe they wouldn't have them teamed. But the problem with that then is, okay, they're both baby faces, so how do you do that? But they just decided to do a classic one, saying, you know what? Nobody remembers that. That was a long time ago, and people are just going to love seeing Finn back. And, I mean, not only did they do that, and they teamed, and they won, but after the match, Seth raised Finn's hand, you know, and was just like, everybody give it up for this dude.
Hey, I do want to give Eric a two-minute warning. We're going to be coming back to you. He asked us to put you back on hold for about 30 minutes. I think it's been close to that, if not a little bit more. I do want to remind people that time is running out on the ProWrestling.net $2 for 1 month special, our best membership pricing of the year on the 6 month and annual subscriptions. $4 per month is what it breaks down to for our annual subscription. So jump on this while you can. We don't do these sales often. We're not Kohl's where we have a sale every day of the week, basically. And it's really great pricing, if I do say so myself. Again, $4 is what it works out to on average per month for .NET membership on the annual rate. Normally, it's $7.50 for 1 month, so you can see the price break there. $4.50 is the price for 6 months of membership on average. And then, again, $2 for 1 month. You just want to sample us, see if we're a good fit for you. Jump on that one. Details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. You go into the headline that says right there in the news feed, marked ProWrestling.net membership sale, and you're going to find three different coupon codes that will give you access to that. You just follow the information, go right to the sign-up page. Sounds more complicated than it is. Very simple process. You can be signed up in a matter of minutes and enjoy ad-free access to ProWrestling.net's website and the mobile site as well. You can certainly listen to all of our audio content from our nine-year history. It is all available. You want to go back and listen to past WrestleMania shows, this Sunday's WrestleMania audio review, it's all there. A lot of interviews and things of that nature as well. We would love for you to check it out. It's that time of year. I think even though Mania is going, obviously we're getting the Superstar Shakeup, and we'll be covering that in great detail. We have all television show reviews all throughout the week. You guys hear them sometimes on the All Access side. Members hear them after each show for WWE shows, SmackDown, Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, That Hayden Glead's audio review will be up later this week for the most recent television show. And then also Lucha Underground. John Moore and Will Pruitt have been taking turns on that over the last few years. And John Moore is, whenever the show is new again, will be jumping back on board with that. You can go back and listen to audio reviews of those shows that you're watching on Netflix. Impact Wrestling. John Moore and I take turns kind of rotating just depending on whether I'm playing softball, which I will be soon. So good news for members. You'll be you might be hearing some Star Wars music occasionally because I like to play the Star Wars music if my Spear League softball team wins. It's a glorious moment. But, again, all the information available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And coming up, I think probably Friday, Zach and I have been exchanging notes. Zach Zimmerman, who is still in Orlando, has been covering all these various independent events. He went to Mania. He went to I don't remember if he went to NXT, but he's been all over Orlando. He will be joining me for .NET Weekly later on this week. We'll certainly be talking with him about his experiences. Looking forward to that. That is our flagship show, available exclusively to the members, and so look for that later on this week, members. But again, all the details on the main page of ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions at all, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And now that I plugged all of my good stuff, Brian, tell us about all the good things we can find at Sporting News and BetweenTheRopes.com.
Well, if anybody wants to listen to the Between the Ropes podcast, you can subscribe. It's on all the different platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and the TuneIn app. And follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz, and that's probably the easiest spot that you can find all my work when it comes to sporting news and also when we put up the new podcast and everything. But if you do subscribe, as soon as we put it out, you will get it. So that's probably what you want to do there. And you can also follow the show and the podcast over at Between the Ropes on Twitter.
And don't forget to go to Brian's YouTube page. You've had a you were at
– Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were right there in – what was it? Media Row or what do they call it? Radio Row for WrestleMania.
We call it all that. Media Row, Radio Row, whatever you like to call it. So, yeah, we got a bunch of different interviews over there. DIY joined us, Charlotte Flair, Renee Young, Nikki Bella. Big Show had some interesting comments talking about locker room etiquette. Paul Heyman came by, Samoa Joe. Who else did we get? I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, we got a bunch of different talent over there. And then also I caught up with Ric Flair the following day. He was making an appearance. So WWE is doing this deal with Foot Locker for exclusive footwear and apparel, including some Puma products. And part of that is Nature Boy Ric Flair Puma shoes. And Rick was there, so I got to speak with him for a few minutes.
Very good. And you know what? If anyone's like, you know, I'm kind of down in the WrestleMania crowd, they hijack shows, watch the Paul Heyman interview. Because every year, Brian, Paul Heyman hijacks your interview.
Yeah, he does. You know, it was funny because the way that I was able to get Paul was I was told, like, well, he's only, you know, we're done here in like 10 minutes. And Paul had already come by and said, hey, I'm going to be coming back. He had, like, walked by the table. And I went down there, and I got him. And I don't know if he was supposed to do somebody else's or not, but I went down, and I got him. And when Paul came over, man, I just knew what was going on. In fact, my buddy Michael Wisemoon, Michael was going to do the interview with me, and I said, you know, you might want to sit this out simply because you don't know Paul, and Paul doesn't know you, and I don't know if you're ready for the Paul Heyman experience. And he agreed that it might be better to
take a
sit
seat,
that
rookie.
One out. Yeah, basically. But I warned him about it. I'm like, it's not that Paul's trying to be mean or anything. It's just Paul, you know. And you know, Paul went into promo mode like right off the bat. I literally was about to like just step away and see if he was going to cut a 10-minute promo. And just I would have been thrilled with it too. I was like hoping for it. And then he kind of turned back to me, and you know, so it worked out fine. But yeah, Paul. Paul could be very interesting at Radio Row.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. We've got a couple more callers, and then I'm going to hit some email questions. Brian, can you stay past the top of the hour? I know you have SmackDown, so if you have to go, I can fly solo once we get through the calls.
I can stay for a few minutes past the top of the hour.
Sounds good. Well, let's go to Eric in Grand Rapids. He asked us to wait. Eric, are you ready for us?
Yeah, I'm ready. I was on a bus. I'm sorry. I didn't know what kind of reception I'd get.
Oh, no problem. What's going on?
How long do you think Randy Orton's title reign is going to be? And then what do you think of Kurt Angle? You were right about Kurt Angle being the GM. I think you mentioned that Sunday. So, and that's all I got. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Eric. Angle was my pick back when they ended up going with Mick Foley. But I got to say, I want the angle we saw in TNA, the authority figure we saw there, Brian. He was serious. He brought some credibility to it. And not that they can't have some fun. I just hope that they kind of got that out of their system last night, and you're going to see more of a mix, that there's going to be some fun comedy moments with him, but there's going to be more of Angle being serious.
Yeah, I think we will get some of that. But, I mean, the timing is still there with Kurt. That's the great thing. Especially when it comes to that fun, you know, levity side of him. And we got to see that on Raw. I mean, it didn't look like he's lost a step when it comes to that, you know, WWE entertainment style.
And Eric's other question was, Brian, how long do you think Randy Orton's title reign lasts?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a coin flip on who was going to win that match at WrestleMania. I mean,
yeah,
I could see Bray winning
it
back. Yeah, but you know what? I could easily see AJ in the mix there. I don't know if they would do Shinsuke get Randy simply because of the, you know, babyface. I don't know if that matters as much, though, these days, especially when it comes to Shinsuke. So I'd probably say at least a month or two, I would think. I don't think they're going to switch it immediately.
Is he champion going into SummerSlam?
No.
I hope not.
I think he was it before then.
I'm not an anti-Randy guy, but I just know from history, and hopefully he can prove me wrong, when Randy Orton holds the championship, things get boring in a hurry. And that, so it's like, if it is SummerSlam, well, it's not as far off as it seems. You know, I mean, we're already into April. Fine. I don't want it to go much any longer than that. And, you know, hey, if he hits his stride and things are going good, well, I'll be happy to eat my words. But it just seems like he's a guy that, for whatever reason, is better in the challenger role, better doing other things than he is being the champion. People seem to get disinterested. And so I guess I'm hoping for a shorter reign. I'll say yes to he does get to SummerSlam, but it's not with a great degree of confidence, that's for sure. Up next here, I believe, let me make sure I haven't gone to this person, 309, who are you, where are you calling from?
My name is Jerry, and I'm from Illinois.
All right, should I call you Kenny, since I called Kenny Gary?
It's Jerry with a J.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so bad with this. My hearing is just awful. Jerry with a J, how you doing, and yeah, what can we do for you today?
I'm doing well. I just read a thing that Callisto's mask was made by horror legend Tom Savini, who did special effects for Maniac and one of the Friday the 13th films, which I thought was weird.
Oh, cool.
But the two questions I had for you guys is, with the draft coming up, or the whatever they're calling it, special event or superstar shakeup, could you see American Alpha end up on Raw with Kurt Angle as the GM doing a new Team Angle?
Brian,
no.
Interesting thought. Well, I mean, keep in mind that was certainly something that was discussed at one time. I don't know
right.
If it was WWE was serious about it or it was more fan speculation. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, is it just because it's awkward with him in the role that he is that you're saying no?
Well, I think it's because they don't want Angle to get back in the ring right now. I mean, I've been saying for a little while that I think Kurt will wrestle in WWE. I don't think he's going to necessarily team with anybody. And I think that his first match will be at SummerSlam. He'll be on a really, really big stage. I think he'll only wrestle maybe a handful of times for them, but I think it will be on their biggest events, like a SummerSlam. And while we sit here and we can say it makes perfect sense and it'll be a great pairing to put Kurt with them, I just don't see it in the cards right now. I might be dead wrong, but I think they're going to keep American Alpha where they are. And, you know, that way we're not overthinking, like, hey, now that American Alpha is there, shouldn't Kurt get back in the ring and he could easily team with them?
I like Alpha. I like Angle. I don't know that I need to see them together. I don't have these fond memories of Team Angle. I was underwhelmed by it. It was okay. And I mean, it's Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin. I think American Alpha are two guys who they're certainly rub to give from Angle, but I don't know that you need to pair them necessarily and have them team. I mean, he can kind of endorse them in his own way. I'd rather see them stick to doing things in the tag team division while Kurt, if he is going to return, is doing something bigger than a six-man tag. If they can get Goldberg through matches, Brian, I don't think there's any issue of getting Kurt Angle through a wrestling match.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big thing for them is just for WWE to feel comfortable when it comes to his medical situation, and if he passes everything, then I think they want to put him in the ring. But I think they want to capitalize on those moments in the biggest way possible, and I don't think he'll be a week-to-week wrestler. And Kurt doesn't want to do that. I mean, he just wants to be on the big shows. He wants to be a special attraction. He should be. That's the best way to utilize him. And, you know, that's why I think SummerSlam would be a good time, because you've got plenty of time between now and then. You've got a few months to build up animosity between himself and somebody else, and you can have a big match on that show.
Jerry, you said you had more for us.
Yes, my final question is, how bad does Anthem look with half their big stars ending up in WWE after their contracts expired?
Man, Brian, you're chuckling.
You mean, hey, so we tried to bring in AJ Styles, and there was issues with negotiations, so he ended up going to WWE, and we tried to bring in Gallows and Anderson, and we tried to keep Drew Galloway, and we kind of tried to keep the Hardys. Yeah,
and in fairness to Anthem, you know, the Styles and the whole club thing was previous management. But, you know, the thing is, I question how badly they wanted the Hardys when they waited until the last minute. And then if you listen to the Hardy version of events, they essentially, had some issues with what they thought they had agreed to verbally, or the way they thought things were going, and then the actual terms that they received when they got a contract in the mail at the last minute. So that just, like, all right, how bad did you guys really want them? And then you factor in, well, Matt's a creative force, and Jeff Jarrett is taking over creative and Impact, and you just can't help but wonder, does he want his potential replacement there? You know, and I don't know that Anthem looked at Matt that way. There's no way of knowing. I know Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Hardy are very close. They're good friends. Interesting that Jeff wished Jeff and his wife well, and there was no mention of Matt in a recent tweet. Clearly they butted heads. But the Galloway one is, we talked about this in the annual WrestleMania brunch that we do on Sundays for .NET members every year, WrestleMania Sunday, of course. The Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre thing, that's one where Anthem dropped the ball, you know, because Brian, take us through it. He said, you know, he would have been happy to stay. They just gave him the deal too late. They offered him the deal too late.
They offered him the deal too late. He didn't feel comfortable with, you know, with what they wanted in negotiations. And I think what that was is, so he wanted the same contract he had before, which allowed him to work other dates that he would book, that he would control, as long as he didn't interfere with when TNA was taping. This continuous schedule on wrestling and overseas shows with, you know, all the different places he works over there, and including with Evolve. And I think they said, no, we want to control your dates. And if you're going to do something like that, you needed to have a longer negotiation period. That couldn't happen, though, because by the time they got back with him, and he was, I mean, his phone was working. They could have called him at any time, you know, but they decided to wait. And I know that there was changes that were going on, but those changes were already made prior to a week before his contract expiring with them, and they waited. And when they did call him, at that point, they're talking like, all right, so here's what we want to do, you know. I think it's a fair, you know, it's a good money offer and everything, but it doesn't allow you to work the dates that you want or have the control of the schedule you had. And he didn't want to be rushed into something that he wasn't comfortable with, and said, you know what, I'm just going to cut cord. And you know what? Maybe we'll revisit this down the line. But you know what? Let's go our separate ways for now. And in the meantime, WWE stepped in. Sounds like they did it pretty last minute when it came to him, appearing, you know, for the NXT show. They did it. And guess what? He's now in NXT. I mean, it must have been last minute for a couple of reasons, including, I believe there was somebody, I think it's somebody from Within What Culture. I don't know for a fact, but...
Yeah,
and my understanding was What Culture was, so at least somebody with What Culture was pissed because he could have dropped the title at their show over the weekend, and it came together so last minute he didn't. Now, mind you, he's going to drop the title. He is going overseas to fulfill his dates.
So they say, you know, I don't doubt him, but wasn't there some issue with Alberto Del Rio dropping titles when, and you know, supposedly he was going to, and then WWE didn't allow it?
Yeah, there was. There was. I think this might be a little bit different because it's an NXT guy.
Yeah, and boy, what a, you know, he belongs on the main roster, but what a great get for NXT. And I mean, they're doing their international tour, and he means something there. And for those who didn't watch him in Impact, this guy has come so far. He is a fine addition to that roster and easily could have gone straight to the main roster and been a player. And so, I'm guessing, I would hope that he's on a Nakamura-like deal where, all right, the longest he's going to be in NXT is 1 year. I hope next year at this time we're excited about Drew McIntyre. I'm going to have to get used to saying that again, coming to either Raw or SmackDown. But Jerry, did you have any more for us?
I had one final question.
Yeah.
NXT TakeOver is going to be in Chicago May 20th. With it being in Chicago, my Facebook wall is filled up with people asking if Punk or Boom Boom will debut at NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Oh, boy. I would be shocked, Brian, if CM Punk returned and it was at the NXT level. And Cabana, I mean, I just interviewed him. You can listen to that. There's about 25 minutes on the All Access side, and we actually went about 70-some minutes overall, with the rest of it continued for members. One of the things he said on the member side that we cleared up is that he doesn't have a Ring of Honor deal like everybody else. He is a free agent, because we were talking about the whole, if WWE were to purchase Ring of Honor, if any of that were to happen, would all of a sudden he be technically under WWE contract? And he would not be. So could he? Yes. Brian, do you think he would? Do you think Colt Cabana would go to NXT?
If it was the right deal, yes. But I think Colt really enjoys what he does right now, from scheduling-wise, podcast-wise, merchandise-wise. He keeps very busy. He keeps a very free and open schedule. And remember, this is a guy that embraces the indies like nobody else's business. Like, he wants to go to the weird indie shows. He wants to go to the shows that aren't the well-attended ones and the ones where he can really kind of work his magic and do something a little bit different. So I don't know. I mean, anything can happen if the right deal is out there, I'm sure, but I just don't see that being a fit right now.
Jerry, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Good questions today. And also, shout out to Colt, coltmerch.com. He was on to promote Wrestling Road Diaries 3. It's fun, and it's a good look at the art of comedy and wrestling. You know, whether, even if you're someone who's not big on comedy and wrestling, I think you're going to appreciate the thought that goes into just kind of the art form of it. And he and Grado and Kenitaro, I'm probably butchering the name, it's a really fun look at it. And so coltmerch.com is where you can find that. And Brian, I got to give this shout. I've been doing it all week. I've been so damn impressed. Have you tried the Fight TV app?
Yes. It's been fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my God. And they were so helpful. You know, I'm 44 years old and not nearly as technically savvy as I should be for a guy who works online all day. They were so good about answering questions. I mean, so quickly. Big shout out to them. And the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor iPay-per-view replay available. Brian, you didn't get to see the show, but fantastic. Or did you actually go back and watch it yet?
I haven't been able to watch all of it yet. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I will be doing that over the next couple of days.
And I think you're going to enjoy it. That was really fun. So I just wanted to give them a shout-out because they were so helpful, and I definitely appreciate good customer service, and they were that. They provided that, that's for sure. Now, let's Brian, you said you have a couple minutes here to answer some questions from the members that they submitted. I always say email, but it was actually within the forum.
Sure, I've got a few more minutes, yeah.
All right, cool. It's not too many here. In fact, we can combine the first a couple. The guys that sent them in, Gary from Baymanette, Alabama, as I like to say, he asked, so WrestleMania is just too damn long, right? But I'm going to combine that with Shark Mary and the idea that is gaining some popularity. WrestleMania being a two-night affair. Comment on those, Brian.
Let's see, WrestleMania being a two-night affair, it could be coming. I do wonder about that, especially with the brand split and how elongated the night is. I guess the question there is, how much is too much from a price standpoint? Does that mean you're going to lower the price, you know, when it comes to each event, but overall you'll make more? See if people, I mean, how much is too much to make sure you get people to come to your event and really sell it out, you know, and make it it's make it cost prohibitive is what I'm trying to say, you know, where it's not going to be something so outrageous. Now people say, I'm not going to travel for it. It's just too much. You know, I think that's going to be the big part of that. But I could see it, you know, happening, especially with the brand split, if it continues to work as well as it's gone so far.
I mean, I can see both sides of the whole two-night argument. I guess for me personally, I say make it one night, but make some tough decisions. You made the tough call to keep Samoa Joe off the show. You made the tough call to keep all but two cruiserweights off the show. So, you know, make the tough calls and give people the best Mania you can. But, you know, they've done it. They used to do it for years. Now there's this push to get everybody on this show, and it's just it's too much. If there were two nights of WrestleMania, yeah, there are some issues there. You don't want to price people out. I mean, it's a commitment to watch 7 hours or 5 hours, whatever it is, if you don't watch the kickoff show. It certainly is. But then you're asking people to two nights of Mania. I mean, there's definitely – it's something we'll be talking more about in the future, I'm sure. Do you think WWE is giving serious consideration to that?
I don't know if they are yet. Well, here's the other thing that I look at, too. Does that hurt how special the event is if it's moved to a two-night event? Because there is something to one night only, one night of the year, WrestleMania. So that goes into it. Maybe it takes away from the two-night. And then plus with the two-night thing, you can pick and choose then. You say, you know what, I can only go to one of them, or this is the one I'm more interested in. So how do you separate that? One's supposed to be this mega event for WWE. So I think it's something that they probably look at, but I don't know if they're really close to doing it yet. But I totally agree with you that the hard choices have to be made. Maybe it's a situation where you have to, you know, drop two or three matches. You could still do three on the pre-show. The main card probably needs to have seven or eight at the most. And it's going to be tough. You know what? I always say this. WrestleMania is not fair. It's just not fair. You know, it's not fair to everybody that's there day in, day out, busting their humps, you know, to get that moment. Unfortunately, it is not fair. Not everybody can be on it. And, you know, you just got to hope that, you know, if you do not make it, you can make it the following year. But it's, you know, WWE has to make choices to put their top acts and the top storylines on that show to really make it stand out and be the special event that it is.
And life isn't fair. You know, I mean, how many great athletes have just been tremendous, you know, all the skill in the world, never made it to their respective championship. Tony Gonzalez, how many years did he go without winning a playoff game? You know, these things happen. And in wrestling, yeah, you can control it, but I think you should. If I'm WWE, the way I explain it to people is, hey, we do have some tough decisions to make, and just because you're off the show doesn't mean you're never going to be on it, but we need to put our fans first. And right now, the fans, we're trying to give them what we think they want, and I'm sorry, there's only so many spots for so many people, and this just isn't your year. And, you know, I mean, that's the way I would do it. I'm sure there would be some really disappointed people, but I would also give them whatever the payoff is for being in the dray. I'd make sure everyone got that, because they're going to be taking part in Access and all these other events that WWE puts on. So I would still make sure they got the WrestleMania payday, whatever that cut would be. We have two others, and they're both Roman Reigns related. Gary asks, he says WWE solidified Reigns the biggest heel in the company, only they don't seem to realize it. Is it a Cena-level lost cause at this point? He says, but Reigns isn't as likable or as good as Cena. And he says, I know this is discussed a lot, but why? And could you imagine the reaction if Taker had never lost the streak? Yeah, there is that one. I still wish they had waited. But, is he a lost cause? Do you see him that way?
No, I mean, he still gets huge reactions. Maybe he doesn't move the needle as much as some other people, but, you know, talk to the other talent in that company, and they love working with Roman Reigns. He's a great talent in the ring. Does he have some deficiencies when it comes to promos? Yeah, I still think WWE, when they do promos for him, they still haven't totally tapped into him. But here's the thing that I look at when it comes to his personality. Is he a babyface? Is he a heel? You can make arguments from both sides. I think what he is he's a modern-day athlete that, you know, is going to be braggadocious, is going to stand up for himself and say, I am a great athlete. I am, you know, he believes in himself. He's cocky. He's confident. He's whatever. Some people are going to love him. Some people are going to hate him. We see that in pro sports. We see it in the NFL. We see it in the NBA. There's plenty of guys that are like that. That's what Roman Reigns is in the WWE universe.
It's funny because your perception and my perception of Kevin Garnett, for instance, are two completely different things. You know, I see.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you see the trash talker, and I see the guy who is really good about Minnesota in general and wanted to be here at a time when Stephon Marbury was leaving and all of this. And so it is, you know, just one example of how that can work. The other
Roman to me is Roman Reigns is the Dennis Rodman of the WWE. You love that guy when he's on your team, but you do not like him one bit when he's on the opponent's team.
Well, the follow-up to this actually comes from Shark Mary, essentially. He wants to know if Reigns was getting go-away heat. They were chanting delete and go away at him, and Roman sucks at Vince, which I truly enjoyed. All, you know, they like to chant CM Punk at Stephen Hunter. They like to chant all these different Roman things, and we finally got Vince out there. Vince is the one. I mean, he's the guy behind this Roman push, love it or hate it. But he says, surely any wrestler who was pushed this hard as a square peg in a round hole would have this happen to them, which means it's the booking, not himself, that's getting the reaction. I agree. And he says, keep in mind that last week went down about 300,000 or 500,000 viewers with Roman in the main event. So, I mean, the key here is it go-away heat that Roman is getting.
I think a lot of fans would like to say that, but to me, if you want go-away heat, that's not reacting to him. That's folding your arms. That's standing, you know, turning your back to him. That's, you know, I'm going to use this opportunity to go to the bathroom rather than watch Roman Reigns. And he's not getting that. He's, you know, he's still getting a reaction. I mean, people are booing him. People are saying naughty things about him, but he's still getting a reaction, and the people are right there.
I don't think that, I mean, they may tell you otherwise, and I can't speak for everybody, and not everyone would have the same answer, but I think by and large, that crowd last night, deep down, they don't want Roman to go away. They want Roman to be a heel. And so I don't, it may come off as go-away heat with the things they yell at him, the F you Roman and all of that, which I guess I'll have to follow up on that, Brian. I got to ask you about that one. But I just don't think it's true go-away heat. When I sense go-away heat, it's like you. When there's it's not real heat. It's just the apathy. And we do see that at times with Roman Reigns. You're not seeing that from this crowd. This is a very passionate fan base, but there have been times when Roman's been pushed as a babyface, and you'll see him in the Raw main event, where the people just look disinterested. Like, and when it comes to the hardcore fans that are there, it's almost like their spirit's been broken. Like, you know, it's like, I'm not, why bother, you know? And the crowd is just kind of quiet. And, Mel, it's not that John Cena reaction. That's why I always say they want to say this is Cena-like, and it's not. It's a great reaction during Mania weekend. They knew this was coming. They wanted this. They played into it by having him show a bit more of a heelish edge without an actual heel turn. But I guess, Brian, when all is said and done, I guess starting next Monday, is it just business as usual for Roman?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think they'll have him and Braun, and they'll be going back to business. I mean, he's still going to get a reaction that's probably going to be overwhelmingly negative, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, as vociferous as it was, you know, last night, just because that is a special edition of Raw when it comes to that crowd.
And I did have a couple of people that sent in questions that were more Mania specific. And even if they weren't, they're now buried somewhere in my email inbox. And I do apologize. I didn't open the Mania Sunday thread for a reason, just because I knew we were going to be flooded with calls that day. As I always say with these, I always try to, you know, callers take priority when we're doing a live show. But Q&A will be back next Monday, and so I will be happy to answer all of your questions in the forum on .NET members. So next Monday, and then as far as ProWrestling.net Live, we will return. Must be May 1st. It's always the Monday after the WWE pay-per-views is when we do ProWrestling.net Live, and then we'll do some specials as we did this week for WrestleMania, probably the same for SummerSlam, and you know, the bigger pay-per-views, we'll do some special content, but look for the next live show to occur the day after the WWE, what is it, Payback show, Brian?
Yeah, it's Payback.
And last thing I wanted to ask you about, first, did you watch Raw back by any chance? Did you see any of it? I know you were there in person, but did you happen to see anything once you got home?
I just saw a couple little parts.
Did you see did you get to hear the crowd chants at Roman right off the top?
I didn't get to see that part. I saw some of the stuff later on, but yeah, I mean, I'm assuming I don't know this. So how much did they have to turn the crowd down because of the F-bombs that were flying?
That's what I wanted to bring up to you. None. They let it fly. Yeah, I mean, you could hear it plain as day, and it wasn't like, you know, usually you kind of hear, you might hear one or two, and then you'll just hear the mix change. And they let it all go through. And so I was going to ask you, you know, and I think your reaction just gave it away, how much that surprises you.
Yeah, that does surprise me. I thought maybe they tried to turn it down because there was a couple chants. One was directed at Owens using that special little word, and there was also one directed towards a certain owl using that word.
We heard that one plain as day, too. F that owl. Thank you to Rebbie Hardy for that gem. That one was out in full force last night. But, yeah, it's a cable network. It's not – and you'll hear things happen. You'll hear the crowd or a player, for instance, say something during any type of sporting event now and again, I guess. It doesn't happen all the time. Kevin Garnett, speaking of which, heard him cuss during more than one basketball game on TV over the years. Raw, I mean, they tend to kind of change that mix up, and they didn't. I don't think they're going to get in any trouble. I don't, you know, USA, they may care. I mean, if this was FX, I mean, you hear this type of language within their shows that you and I watch, Brian. It's not uncommon. I think even F-bombs occasionally on certain shows, you'll hear that. So it's, because it's cable TV, I think they're gonna slide. But I don't think, I mean, maybe USA is gonna have a talk within the day, but it's something that probably isn't gonna be an issue until what, Brian? Maybe next time they go to the UK and Roman's on the show.
Maybe something like that. But yeah, maybe USA is gonna touch them. I don't know. I mean, it is cable. I mean, that's the one that they have going for them. If it had happened later in the show, it wouldn't have been a problem as much. But when it's on right at, you know, the top of the show, and that's at 8 o'clock at night Eastern, that's when it's a problem.
Is this the last SmackDown without Roman Reigns on it?
I think Roman's staying on Raw.
Okay, very interesting. And finally, what do you? Obviously, Shinsuke tonight is what I assume you're expecting. But anybody else?
I think we're going to get Ty Dillinger tonight,
mm-hmm.
And I think either tonight or next week we're going to get Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, interesting. That's right. He is. He's been medically cleared. So, yeah, good one. I wasn't even thinking about him. Dillinger makes sense. I think it'd be a kind of a fun follow-up for Miz to feud with Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, I think that would work out really good. I know that there's some word out there. Maybe Andrade Cien Almas will be coming as well. I don't know if that would be tonight or if that's even the SmackDown or if that's a Raw thing.
Match at NXT, but he's ready for the main roster.
Hey, look at Alexa Bliss. She was never
True.
Even on an NXT TakeOver. She was never in a championship match, and she got brought up to SmackDown, and she's done really good. I would not be
great.
Surprised. I think Alexa Bliss could be moving over to Raw.
Oh, I'll watch Alexa Bliss wherever she – well, I have to watch it all anyway, but
yes.
I hope she continues improving the ring because she is one hell of a character. I mean, she's a really good performer in that way. But, Brian, I know you have to get going to SmackDown. One more time, where can people follow you online?
You can go follow me on Twitter. It's @BrianFritz. You can follow the Between the Ropes podcast, @BetweenTheRopes. And you can subscribe to the podcast as well and all the different outlets like iTunes and Stitcher.
And do me a favor and tell Michael Weissman, your sidekick at BetweenTheRopes.com, that I hate his guts.
No problem. I can always do that. I'll send him a message here shortly.
Oh, did he already go home?
Yeah, I sent him home. I sent him packing this morning.
Oh, that's cool. Well, good for you. You get to enjoy SmackDown in peace without Wiseman at your side. That's always a good thing.
What I did do, though, was I asked for 2 tickets just so I could go by myself and just have an empty seat in his honor.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
And to stretch my legs in.
Now, in Minnesota, when we do that, it's so we can, like, have a spot for jackets. Like, when you go to a movie theater and it's almost sold out, everybody's got their jacket there, and you never know, like, all right, is somebody sitting there, or is that – you guys don't have that issue in the city, beautiful.
That's true. We use it to put our clothes that we're taking off because we like to strip down and it's so hot.
Very nice. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Brian. It's always a pleasure, and I know I'll be talking to you very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Brian. And I do see, let me make sure here. It looks like we have one more call that I'll take. I was going to wrap things up, but Hey, like I practice what I preach. You got to please your audience. 516, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Jesse Long Island. Can we admit that Shane McMahon is one of the best wrestlers of all time?
No, we can't. We could admit that he had a fun match with AJ Styles, but as far as admitting he's one of the best wrestlers of all time, God no.
Why not? He against Mick Foley, he did the same shit.
He's a fun special attraction, but in my book, there's a big difference between being a great wrestler and being kind of a stunt guy. And I don't even say that to completely bury Shane. I was on the Shane bandwagon last year. He saved WrestleMania by coming back to face Taker when they had all those injuries. But, you know, this year going in, to me it was a disappointment. We were going to see Shane and AJ. The match was better than I thought it was going to be. But I also said expectations are so low, I think they'll exceed them. But, no, I mean, you can't – I mean, just – so you're going to say, just to pull a name out, Shane McMahon belongs in the same breath as a Kurt Angle, for instance, as far as great all-time wrestlers?
I think so.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Do you have more for me today?
Who has more memorable matches?
Ric Flair, Harley Race. I mean, seriously,
You said Kurt Angle.
I would say Kurt Angle. Now, they may not have been as high profile as Shane, but, you know, Kurt can't help that TNA wasn't as high profile.
Which ones did Kurt have? Which ones?
Samoa Joe, to name one in TNA, the one with Shane himself, Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania main event. I mean, there's plenty of them.
Shane's a great wrestler. Just give him the credit, bro.
He's a great attraction. He is not a great wrestler, and I honestly think Shane McMahon would tell you that himself.
And he fought with the best of them, which makes, like, David Arquette up there.
All right, we got to talk about something. Anything else? Because we're going to be at a stalemate on this one, I assure you.
No, are we going to put David Arquette up there?
Would I put David Arquette up on the list? God, no. But I tell you what, Shane
exactly,
McMahon is closer.
But
Shane is closer to David Arquette than he is Kurt Angle on the list of all-time great wrestlers. Shane is a special attraction. And when he goes out there, he tries really hard. He jumps from high places. He does some cool things. The fans like him. There's a likability to Shane. That doesn't mean Shane is a great wrestler. Hulk Hogan, in some ways, when you look at it from a technical standpoint, Hulk Hogan wasn't a great wrestler. He was great at what he did, but there's a big difference. I think maybe our definition of great wrestlers are two different things.
Well, I think, he drew the greatest attraction of the night, right? So.
Yeah, he's a great attraction. You won't get any argument from me there. But thank you very much for calling. I did not expect that to close the show, that is for sure. But, hey, to each his own on that. I'm not... I really do think our definition of great wrestlers are very different. But I want to thank everybody who took the time to call into the show. Thank you to my co-host, Brian Fritz, today. Hayden Gleed yesterday. Johnny Fairplay called into the show yesterday. We had some good time chatting with him. Hayden apologized. He just was there was a delay on his phone yesterday. And so if things sounded a little bit off on his end, that is why. But Hayden, I thought he did a fine job. And also, it was John Moore joining me on WrestleMania Sunday. It's been fun. I always look forward to doing the live specials. Again, we'll be back the day after the Payback show, Monday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Will Pruitt is my usual partner in crime on this. I haven't even checked with Will to see if he'll be able to make that show, but hopefully he can. .NET Weekly on probably Friday with Zach Zimmerman. He and I will be talking all things WrestleMania weekend, some of the off-brand things that he attended, some of the non-WWE events. He was everywhere. You may have seen it on the site, attending Evolve shows and I think WWN Live, and this, I mean, also the probably WrestleCon Super Show. I know he went to Chikara. He was everywhere, and so I just look forward to talking with Zach about his WrestleMania weekend. He made the trip to Orlando. In fact, he's still there now, and will be making the trip back tonight, as will a lot of people. He's not sticking around for the NXT tapings, speaking of which. We're always looking for correspondents for the NXT tapings or any wrestling taping, for that matter. If you are going and you want to help DOTNETJASON@gmail.com. DotNetJason@gmail.com. Thank you again to the member who pointed out how annoying it could be if I sang it that way. I never would have figured it out myself, but I am so grateful. Follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And remember, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net right now, and you can get $2 for 1 month of membership along with our best sale prices of the year on six-month and annual membership. It works out to $4 on average per month for a full year of .NET membership is what you pay. You just got to visit the main page. I'll try to keep the story about the membership sale right near the top of the page so it's easily accessible for everybody. I'll just keep bumping it up occasionally. It's not going to be here long. In fact, I think probably by Thursday it's going to be disappeared. So today may even be your last full day to take advantage of that. $2 for 1 month, ad-free version of the site, all the audio content that you can handle. We've got a ton of it, major reviews of all the major television shows and pay-per-view events. Jump on it while you can. We would love to have you sample what we do. If you enjoy this show, I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy the audio content that we provide our members on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Brian mentioned he's on Stitcher. We are too. I didn't even realize it for the longest time until somebody asked me. And yes, we are now on Stitcher. Again, I thought we were. I don't know what happened there, but we're there now. So if that's a platform that works for you, jump on it. Our audio content is also available on Downcast and a lot of the secondary apps. I get questions about that from time to time. Yes, it is there. If you become a member, it is accessible that way as well. We have special instructions on how to take care of that once you become a .NET member. But thank you again to everybody who called, all the guest hosts. I really appreciate it. And the listeners, hey, no one said you had to call, right? But we definitely appreciate you taking the time to check out the show, and I will talk to you again very soon. Until next time, take care, everybody.